It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and anywhere else they travel. If you love golf and like to laugh, Golf DMV is your place. This ain't your stuffy, snobby, boring golf show. It's Golf DMV.
It's Golf DMV, the Masters Recap Edition of Golf DMV. Anything you need, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, regarding golf, this is your one stop right here for all that kind of stuff. I've been getting a lot of emails and text messages from people who know me and know this podcast asking me, you know, they've got friends coming out of town. Here's where they're staying. What's the nearest golf course that they should play? And so if that's your, if that's what's going on with you and it comes to the DMV, yeah, hit Golf DMV up. Vern's been getting some emails about like instructors and just different stuff like that. We're where you come for when it, for golf in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, all right? Brought to you in part by Cache Spine Sports. We've got to get your back and neck right. See Dr. Smith. You can learn more at golfdmv.com. And while you're there, go to the shop and buy some stuff. Buy some hats, buy the bags, like buy stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, you're from the DMV, you wear the gear, you know, mm-hmm. and help some brothers, you know, fatten their pockets a little bit. That's, I mean, that's essentially one of the reasons we do the podcast. But anyway, lots to get to. We've got the Masters recap, obviously. LB plays golf nine holes with a junior, my son.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit. And Vernon, LB got a chance to play yesterday at PB Dye, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear what condition PB Dye is in, because it was one of the premier courses. It went through a slump. And then as of like last year, 2 years ago, it's been back. So I can't wait to see if it's back. But first, we've got a couple shout outs. LB, you've got a couple shout outs from Enterprise that we didn't get to in the last show. Mm-hmm. And you've got a couple of shout outs from PB Dye that you want to get in there.
Right. So let's start with Enterprise. We played Enterprise two Saturdays ago, I think it was, from today. And I'll have to pull up a calendar to get the date, but it's been a couple of weeks. We were playing with me, Vern, Damon, and Vern.
Yep.
Yep, the other guy, Damon's friend, whose name I'm
going to Nate. I'm sorry, Nate.
Okay.
All right, look, I've so many rounds. We have so many people checking in. I don't know who's who. Yeah, but I remember. Yeah. It'll be Damon and Nate. Nate was cool. Yeah.
Speaking of that, by the way, we're also going to try to touch on like your golf circle. Like how big is everyone's golf circle? We'll talk about that a little bit. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So we played that round. We were in front of a group of like eight guys or so, something like that. I won't tell you why, because Vern was late, but that's a whole nother topic. But so we were behind these guys at Enterprise, and and behind us was three ladies playing. Their names were Cheryl, Rhonda, and Oletta. I hope I'm saying this right. Oletta.
Three sisters, it seems.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very nice ladies. Well, because a couple of times I went, because we were waiting because the guys were in front of us. So I would go back and look. You know, I gave them cards and chatted them up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
twice.
They were having fun. They were having a fun time because we could hear them laughing and joking and having a really good time.
That's what I'm talking about.
So I went back and gave them cards and told them about the show and everything. And I told them I would shout them out. And I apologize, ladies, for being late. But I will put this offer out there. I know that you three were playing last time that I saw you. If you need a fourth, hit me up. Hit us up on Instagram or email or whatever.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm your fourth. If you need a fourth, call me up. I'm there.
He'll show you a good time.
Absolutely.
That he will.
Yeah. And the guys, so when we finished the round, there were those guys up in front of us was in the parking lot. We got to talk to them. They were divvying up the money because they were gambling. They had a big pot, apparently.
Yes.
So, Skip won the birdie contest. He won $80.
Nice.
And Tony won the skins. I wrote their names down. And Jeff, Carlos, and who was the guy? Yankee? I wrote down Yankee.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They were what's it called? The 214, Vern? That was the
211.
211. The 211, which means they didn't win.
211. Oh. To combine. That's what it was.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was just two of them. I think it was Jeff and maybe Yankee. I feel like Jeff mm-hmm. comes up. One of them, they was giving him the blues in the parking lot club because him and his partner shot 211.
So they did not win any money.
They did not win
No. But they were having a really good time in the parking lot, laughing and giving up their money and stuff. So it was food. It was cool. We got to, you know, stand around and talk with them for a little while too. So they all had cards as well. So again, guys, it was a pleasure meeting you all. And again, if you invite us out, I mean, you know, hey, you never have too many golf friends, right?
That's right.
Yep.
And then yesterday, so moving on, yesterday we played PB Dye. Vern and I did because we were the only two we could in our circle that we could get together, where he could get together to play. So it was just Vern and I. So we ended up playing with Joe and Jeff at PB Dye yesterday.
Joe and John.
I'm sorry. I'm looking right at it and I wrote it down. I wrote down Joe and John and I said Joe and Jeff. Yeah, Joe and John. Good guys. They played with us starting on the third hole because they were playing with two guys. It's a whole long story, but they ditched the two they were playing with behind us.
And this was the best club because basically they came up, they ran up on us while we're on the tee box of the fourth. And we're just like, hey, man, can we play with y'all? Because
The whole four of them rolled up with you guys on the two box, or just those two?
Just the two.
Half of the group behind us was like, hey, man, can we play with y'all? We was like, sure. So it wasn't even like, hey, we're going to move up with it. They just jumped in with us.
Yeah.
So if you're the twosome in the back who's trash, it's like, what happened to those guys you're playing with? Oh, they're playing with him now. Didn't say anything.
did the guys mention why they started playing with you? Like, why they wanted to play with you guys?
Yes.
The two guys are trash.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep.
Simple. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. And they wanted to just play with some capable golfers who could get.
So here's what it was, Claude. It seems like they were both new, and what they had decided to do is the twosome was to play, and we can get into this another time. Yeah. But basically, the twosome, they wanted to play a best ball between them. Now, that works if one of you is like really good, but if they like the swings from there, I mean, they were like brand new golfers. So we get it. And they said that they were kind. They were like, look, we get it. Everybody has to get their chops and everything, but we're trying to like finish the round before 6 hours. So, so they came up and they hit with us, man. And they were good company, Joe and John.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. They were good time. We're going to talk briefly about the golf at all, or you want to talk about
talk about the golf.
Okay. I'll start. Because I'm hating golf again. So yesterday, and this I kept stats, right?
Okay.
I was 12 out of 14 fairways, Claude.
Okay. You said 12 out of 14 fairways?
I hit 12 out of 14 fairways.
Not bad. Not bad.
It's pretty good.
Then why did I shoot 96?
Shout out Glenn who told my sister, it's like, hey, I'm only a few strokes worse than these guys. So you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And you shot 96 because strokes gained approach. That's why.
Yes. Dude, my irons, I was hitting them every which way. Every which way but straight.
Mm-hmm.
Every which way but straight. It was a damn shame what it was. It was a damn shame.
That's funny, Glenn said, hey, I'm back from these guys. Now, Bert, what about you? What about your round? Are you hating golf?
It was so if we tie it into today, man, it was very Xander-like. I was five strokes better on the back than I was in the front. So like a real feast or famine situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to what you know I think Glenn's been saying and you guys have been saying about like, hey man, you know, if you just get here just 15 minutes with enough time, which traditionally was not an issue for me. I used to
for you.
Never,
maybe now, three years ago is when it started.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my son, right around when my son was born, basically. I just started running up.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why I just blame my son for my problems, for my lack of
discipline. He likes to be here.
But So 90, 91. But yeah, it could have been way, like the back was like a totally different golfer. Even the guys we were playing with, mm-hmm. was, oh man, he was like came in really nice on the back, like a bunch of pars.
Yeah.
So we was
crushing, and I say we because we were crushing drives.
We were.
I had some really good drives.
It was dope.
I was happy. I was patting myself on the back with my drives, but I couldn't do nothing else.
I'm gonna call out this last thing I'll say about the rounds. Again, the feast or famine. I'm gonna show up early at Waverly Woods next week. I'm gonna get it in. We're gonna go below, you know, 85 or below. That's what we're gonna do. But I'm gonna call it this jerk move that I like to do because this is who I am. When I hit and you guys have seen it. When I hit like a really long drive, a really good drive, I might not say anything. I'll just say, oh, thanks, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I will immediately drive or walk all the way up to my ball and stand next to it just so everyone can see where it is. And it was so obvious. I just had to tell OB. So the two dudes are hitting with, you know, they were like, you know, they don't hit with us often. So I'm like, every now and then I'll get one. And it was
16 or something.
Like 16. It's the one Claude that has the for those who don't know, it's basically a dog leg right.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cut off the dog leg. We got some trees. Yeah, so I piped it right over the trees and I must have been like, I don't know, 90 yards out. I mean it was the furthest I've hit.
Yeah.
Even I was surprised.
So he was so far ahead of so I was probably 40 yards behind Vern. Mm-hmm. And they were, and I think John, which I can't remember which one, which he was about even. And then the other guy was even further back. For me, he's probably 30 yards behind us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he, I mean, Vern was way up there. He was so far that the guy, he said, did he really hit that ball that far? I was like, yeah, yeah, way up there. That's it.
still made bogey, but still made bogey. But I felt good, and it's a move I like to do. So if you're out there here with me on the course, and you see me just run all the way up to my ball and don't say anything, it's just because I just want to stand there and just show
right.
you.
Just show you how far I hit past you. That's all. Without saying anything.
So you can give me the blues when I duff it and get a bogey. But the course, you said the course. For those who don't want to hear about the rounds, the course is in great shape, I think, LB, right?
Yes. Some of the tee boxes were a little chewed up early, I thought.
Right.
Back, I thought some of the back were pretty good. But some of the tee boxes. Yeah. Well, Sherman would never play that because the tee boxes were terrible. Some of the tee boxes were pretty bad. And again, it's early in the season for them to be that, you know, it's a little disturbing to be that bad this early. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the greens were good shape. They had probably aerated maybe a month ago because they were still coming back in a little bit.
Yeah, and PB&I is tricky because even with the aerated greens, their greens are tough, Claude. They still
a lot of undulations. Yeah.
Undulations mm-hmm. and movement, mm-hmm. But in good shape. So good place to go.
And it was three bills. Because that caught me off guard too. When I just we hadn't played $100 course yet.
$100.
Oh, $100.
Yeah.
So when you said three bills, I thought you meant 300. Like, wait, $300. What?
Oh, okay. Bill is $100. Okay, my bad. Okay, one bill then. Okay, yeah. But they do give you range balls, so that's a positive,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, listen, if you're going to charge over $50, then the round should include
some range
bucket of range balls.
Exactly.
I mean, it's
yeah. So yeah. So that's enough for PB&I. The food was good. I stayed and ate too. So okay, that was good.
Nice. So then we also played a quick 9-hole round at Northwest with Manny.
Yes.
Just your thoughts on first round with the junior. How was that?
It was fine because Manny is he's older than he acts older than he is, in my opinion. You know, like my grandkids, I obviously they're too little to take them out anyway, but they would just daddy, grandpa the whole time, you know. And Manny wasn't real talkative. I mean, he talked, but he wasn't like, shut up, kid. You just hit the ball, shut up. You know, he was never an annoying kid. You know what I mean?
He was trying to play.
Yeah, he really was trying to. And at one point though, Brian, he hit a good shot. I think we both commented to him that it was a good shot. He's like, yeah, that was pretty good. You know, the pro's not that much better than I am.
Yeah. He doesn't lack confidence.
You need it.
You need it out there. Yeah, he says, I'm basically like a pro. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, I'm basically like a pro.
But that makes him a real golfer because we all do that. I'm almost scratched.
So I think we had a good time. It's so funny because sometimes you're out there and you feel like you're doing great. And then there are times where you just, you know, you're like, what am I doing? And I had several.
Why am I wasting my time here with $100?
I gave the go ahead speech only like 2 months ago. We're here already.
Yeah, no, but that's what golf does. And this wasn't even like a round. This was me and LB walking with Manny at the 9-hole Northwest. And there's just some iron shots. I'm just like, I just got fitted for these. I was smoking these. Like, what is the problem?
Right.
You know, it's golf. Yeah. It's golf. And so, you know, what do you do?
You tee it up and play again. That's what you do.
That's right.
That's what you do. So talking about, you know, this is golf. And let's talk about the Masters.
Must we? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jackie Matsuyama, he wins it. A couple things. So Justin Rose gets off to this crazy lead in round one. He holds on because things are starting to fall apart in round two, but he cleans up a little bit on the back nine. And he said something in his press conference that when things were starting to fall apart, he said this after the second round, that what he had to do was remind himself, listen, you're still in the lead at the Masters. You know what I mean? And we had a text exchange, me, Vern, LB, and Glenn, where we were talking about, okay, what does Justin have to do? What's he got to think about? And I have mentioned, you know, if he can just, you know, where he is right now in the tournament, everyone else would like to be, even though you feel so much pressure because you've got this, four-stroke lead or three-stroke lead heading to the second round. everybody wants to be where you are. No one, you, he wouldn't want to switch places with anyone else. Mm-hmm. And if he could remind himself, I'm in the lead of this, you know, so far, so good. It's all. And then, I mean, he ends up, you know, choking it away in the third round, but yeah, just the perspective of having the lead on the biggest stage, everyone else chasing you. And that being the biggest pressure point is there's just something odd about that, right? Like, why wouldn't the pressure point be if you're five strokes back? You're like, whoa, if I don't catch up quick, I'm going to be out of this thing. Why is the pressure point I have the lead and I'm in the lead by four strokes?
Right. I think it depends on the personality. That's what I think. I think for the MJ Tiger A type personality person, when they get that four stroke lead, they're probably like, yeah, this, not only is this right, it's supposed to happen, I'm going to open it up and make it, excuse me, I'm going to open up, make it eight strokes. Right. But if, you know, I guess for some others, man, they need, Justin Rose is not that guy. I don't think number one, he's definitely not that guy. So I can see like him, and I'm probably not either, him, me or you being in that position, feeling the weight of not wanting to choke it away. And to your point, Claude, like, why is it? It's probably just because, you know, that this is a, you know, everyone's watching. And you know you have a four-stroke lead. It's like, if I come up short here, all I'm going to hear about is how I came up short. Whereas Mr. A-type or killer guy, you know, your Brooks Koepka even, they're only thinking, in their mind, they've like already won it.
Right, like, right.
That mm-hmm. kind of person, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, in the thread, I said, you know, there's definitely a type of person, and I'm probably more this guy, who wants to be just, I just want to be like two or three strokes, or he's four strokes, right? I'd be like second or third place. I want to be mm-hmm. just in the hunt, lingering. And then, mm-hmm. then there's no one's looking at you. There's no pressure. And all you have to do is you go out and it's like, oh, I just birdied, you know, three or four holes back to back to back. And I peak at the end when I can't mm-hmm. mess it up. Yeah. So I say all that to say, I think it is hard to go wire to wire, probably 2 days, 3 days, but 4 days. I mean, man, I mean, it just makes what Tiger and those other guys did even more impressive.
That's right.
Yeah, well, the thing I was looking at Rose's, career here, so he I mean, he's
whom
one
LB
of
the, hates, by the way. You're yes. not a yeah. Justin.
No, I wasn't a fan of his, and I didn't think he would win anyway. I think I have that in writing as well, that I thought he would fold like a chair. Oh no, I said that about Hideki, didn't
you?
I?
Did say that about Hideki?
Fold like a cheap chair, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So Rose did win the U.S. Open in 2013. So he, so you would think the pressure. I mean, I understand that they still get pressure. So this situation was not new to him if right. you've won the U.S. Open. And, I mean, he's won some other tournaments. He's won 10 PGA tournaments in his career. So, I mean, I'm looking at some of the names here just to see if there's anything. He won a Memorial one time, the BMW, the World Championship of Golf, the U.S. Open, Quicken Loans.
He had that playoff with Sergio for the Masters a couple
he
years
did.
Ago.
He did. Was that? 18.
And there didn't seem to be that competitive edge, like that mm-hmm. desire.
He didn't have that killer instinct.
One of them to kind of go out and win it. I mean, they're hitting their drivers and it's kind of laughing about it, you know, yucking it up. And it's like, you guys are still competing against one another for this green jacket. You know that, right? It's almost like they didn't realize it.
So, yeah. So I wasn't rooting for him to win at all. I definitely did not want him to win.
Well, and we look at some of the players who missed the cut, which started another conversation. I mean, you've got DJ who missed it, you've got Roy who missed it, and I was just thinking, like, golf has to be like the sport with the most parity, where, you know, I can't think of another sport where the number one player or anyone in the top 10 literally could look like they don't belong in the top 50, and someone in the top, you know, 30 to 40 can win it, and it happens every
week. Damn near,
like
yes.
in basketball. I mean, sure, in college basketball, in the one and done situation, like the tournament, you might get, you know, a 14 who will beat. But a lot of times, you know, number one, the higher seeds usually win. But the number two, sometimes the seeding is kind of off anyway, and it's about matchups and just. And I don't think one game in basketball is the same as one tournament, because you play four rounds, and so it's probably more so like a best out of four situation if you wanted to compare the two. But the point is that the top teams are so much better than the teams who aren't. You know what I mean? That
yes,
the parity doesn't really exist. But for some reason here in this sport, it does.
Yeah. There's a reason that the odd that it's so hard to bet golf. This is why. This is why the odds are so they can give you dumb odds, even on golfers you think are like really good, like DJ and Brooks and Roy, who, you know, again, all missed the cut. Brooks I get. But And this is the beauty of the game. We talked about this before. There's no other sport where, like, in terms of like, I don't believe athletes are overpaid necessarily, but like when people try to get into, oh, how much they make, blah, blah, blah. Well, go play golf then, because you earn exactly what you're worth every single week. You know what I'm saying? From week to week. And like Claude said, this could even vary for the best players in the world. It is surprising to see, like, Dustin missing the cut was surprising to see. I did ask LB. I asked LB while we were playing this weekend. I said, you know, for some players, that would be tough. They would be like, dang, I missed the cut, but I got to stick around for this green jacket. I'll tell you, Jason Voorhees, baby. He put the hockey mask back on. He's just sitting home watching cartoons. And I told him it's going to be like somebody's going to knock on his door like 10 minutes for a ceremony. Like, Dustin, you got to get ready for ceremony? Okay.
Give me your jacket. Okay, what do I do? Because
he's going to win again in 2 weeks anyway. And
no, I'm 100% right, though, 100%. And it's funny you mentioned Brooks Koepka with the whole knee thing and how, you know, when it comes down to, like, putting the ball down or trying to read a putt, he had to keep the leg extended.
Right.
So one of these female golf commentators, are you guys familiar with Paige Baranek?
Yes.
She commented, there was a picture where he had both legs just kind of straight, and he's like bending over trying to like line the ball up. Right. And she says, this is literally a picture of me trying to get attention on the golf course and like, Instagram.
In the European feed I was watching, they said he was doing the Power Ranger move when he had the one leg out to the side. So it was like some kind of Power Rangers move or something. Every time he would do it, they would make fun of him.
I just thought it was so funny.
But to your point about the players, this Will, your boy Will.
Zalatoris.
Mm-hmm. Willie Zeman. That's right. I got it out there, Claude. That's right. It might be terrible.
Who is he? I mean, I don't even know where he came from. You know what I mean? And just out of the blue, somebody you never even heard of is, you know, fighting for to win the Masters, you know?
And not just someone fighting for the Masters. He also became somewhat of the media darling this year for the tournament, because everybody, now they can't get enough of Willie Z.
Yes, yes.
And, I don't know what to say. It's like, okay, how is he the guy?
Right. I didn't put this in the chat, but I wanted him to win. Listen, if he had won, Jordan, this would have been a situation. You've been dating this chick for a long time. Maybe it's not going great. How are we gonna hang on? But and then the new chick comes into town. Like, you know what, Jordan? We're all right. We're gonna go ahead and just pass off. Will Zalatoris would have been crowned the new guy. The next thing.
And Jordan says, "But I won last week.
Right. It's cool. Whatever. Yeah, Will, he's younger. He's a lot longer. He's the locks. Yeah. We're cool. He's the new guy. Yeah, I think he's from Texas too. I believe.
I'm looking at it. I know he and Spieth are friends. Apparently, they met. They used to play together or something. They were like kids, 9 or 10 years old.
Feel like he went to Wake Forest, like they were talking about.
I got a story up now, but it's not well bulletized at least.
But what do we think? I gotta about read. Him? Do we like him? Do we not? Like, I don't have a feeling one way or the other about him.
No, I don't know enough about him to hate him. You know what I mean? To like or dislike. You know what I mean?
He's got a lot of confidence. Yeah. He's
absolutely. If he didn't have confidence before, he got it now.
He's Manny-esque in his confidence. He was, you know, they were asking, do you think that you're going to be a guy who could win a Masters? He was like, win a major. He's like, absolutely. I definitely can see myself winning a major. Yeah. And they were saying, watch it. You don't want to tempt the golf gods. And then there was one other question they asked him after the second round. And he said, just talk about how hard he worked to get there. And, you know, while I'm here, like, I'm not just happy to be here, but while I'm here, I might as well try to win this thing. I'm not going to just have this. I'm glad to be here, but this is not it. Like, there's still a ton of work to do. And so, you know, I like that attitude.
Yeah, I like him. You're right, Claude, too. Just to clean that up. He did attend Wake Forest. He is from Dallas. So, which is where I think
Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, him and Spieth. So that's where I would have made it. Yeah, but they would have jumped at him so quick. So he's 24. He's only 24.
Yeah, 24, yeah.
And it would have been earned because, like you said, he hit, he kind of went up and down a little bit there towards the end. But walking off the second, when he moved up to 9, like, he hold the birdie out, picked up the ball, and so much swag, 10 on 10 million walking off the green. I was like, I like this kid. Look at him. He's like, until you call it out yourself, and then that's when all bets are off.
Right. You don't want to do that.
No. Yeah.
So, I mean, I to be honest with you, I didn't watch a lot of the final round. You know, my grandmother had this birthday thing.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Yes.
And by she had this birthday thing, I mean the family did a birthday thing for her. And so I didn't watch a lot of it. I had planned on just kind of sitting in the corner watching it on my phone. But, you know, you don't want to be antisocial and stuff like that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see any of the third round at all. I didn't see any, not one shot of the third round. Agreed. And then the final round, the time I got home and took care of some stuff, I was sleepy. So I put my chair out on the deck and put my phone on the side, and I would wake up every so often. The birds would make a noise, wake me up, and I'd see a little bit. And I'd drift off to sleep again. And I'd wake up again like, whoa, it's only a 2-shot lead now. And, you know, once Xander started, you know, going off there, three or four birdies in a row, that piqued my interest. They're like, okay, now we're going to get something going there. Because up until that point, the reason I was asleep too, wasn't being tired, is because it just wasn't compelling. You know what I mean? You got a 4 or 5-shot lead. I mean, what am I watching here? Mm-hmm. And Hideki's probably a really nice guy, but there's nothing about him, his personality, that draws me to watch him. You know,
that was another thing. Like a name on the leaderboard that was really intriguing to watch.
No, not at all.
Good golfers, great golfers. I mean, but just
throw. Yeah, it wasn't. It just wasn't. You know, it just wasn't compelling to me. And definitely, if Rose had been in the lead, I wouldn't even play the phone. I would turn it off and really just went to sleep. But yeah, so it just wasn't something about it this year. It just wasn't compelling for me, at least to hold my attention like others have in the past. And it had a good feel, but like you say, half of them, and I put in air quotes, the name guys, that, you know, they didn't make it to the weekend. So
it's tough. Like LB said, I didn't watch any of the third round. I did watch all of the fourth round. But I did. I thought of another question too. I was like, what is? And I didn't have time to do research. I'll do it for the next pod. But I'm curious what garbage time is technically for a major. Like, and that would basically be me. Like, what's a lead where it's like, oh, if it's this many strokes, only, you know, they only get overcome like, you know, 2% of the time, you can turn your TV off.
Right.
Four strokes seems low. That doesn't seem like quite garbage time because it got within two.
Yeah.
It got within two. But, you know, when it's like a 6-stroke lead or whatever.
You're probably right around there, 5 to 6, I think.
5 to 6 is kind of like, you can check out. But what's interesting is the battles that happen below that. Like, Xander Schauffele pissed away, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars by dropping from second
to tied. I think he tied for, I just had it up here. Shoot.
So yeah, I don't know where he finished. Yeah. I was scrolling down.
He finished tied for third.
Okay.
But he would have had second alone.
Yeah.
So let me. Yeah. I have this other thing here. I could go keep talking.
$500,000. $500,000.
It costs different between. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Between one of the things that was crazy to me was the fact that a lot of the guys that we had picked, you know, were right in the mix. You know, like a good number of them. And I'm like, man, if one of these dudes can just kind of push through. And I my favorite moment was Siwoo Kim, you know, just losing it and breaking his putter. Because he normally seems emotionless. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even when he runs, because sometimes he will run hot. But even when he's a little upset, you can't tell it on his face. And then just for a split second, he picks it and slams it down. And then his face goes right back to just
very dead. Coach Ward.
I mean, it's like real relaxed, real chill. You don't know what he's thinking. He has 2 seconds of emotion and fire. He slams it down, and he goes right back to like, I can't tell what the dude is thinking or what's in his mind.
Fucking Ike Turner over here. Just
like,
like, I don't know. I don't know where he's at all. Yeah, I saw the putt where he broke it, the one that he missed. I saw the short putt. It wasn't until I came back to the TV that I saw he broke it. But yeah, so having watched, so I had just a couple quick thoughts was having watched the entire fourth round, just trying to get some notes here. I think of everything I heard, Rahm had he had the most interesting comment to me. And I've never heard anybody say this. And I think he said, and this may be a cultural thing, because, you know, he's a Spaniard and they kind of very open and free, like, you know, we're not really tripping. I'm not tied to my emotions. I'm gonna tell you the truth. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here because I had to like type this down quickly, but in a post after he finished his round today, which was good, I think it was 6 under.
Yep, -6, yeah.
Exactly. The reporter asked him, or the sideline reporter asked him, basically, you've had a lot of top tens lately. When is it only a matter of time before you put the green jacket on? And he kind of like looks around and goes, yeah, you know, he says a lot of top tens, you know, it sounds like you're close, but I was really never close to winning. So he takes the top 10, the compliment she just gave him, was like, he kept it 100. It was like, man, getting in the top 10, that's not the same as winning. He says, he said, I was only in it on Sunday in 2018. That was really my only, that was maybe my only shot where I was closest. All those other ones, you know, it's not the same. And then he went on to say, but, you know, the typical athlete speaker was like, oh, you know, but I'll keep trying to plug away and blah, blah, blah. But I just thought it was interesting that he, you know, because anyone else would just be like, yeah, you know,
yes, right. Like, yeah, they would pump themselves up. Yeah.
No, no, he kept it 100. It was just like, no, a top 10 is not the same as being close on Sunday. And I've not been there. So I thought that was pretty dope that he said that. And then the other thing I had was Bryson. I was trying to – so with Bryson, man, Masters, with this course kicking his ass like it does, I thought to myself, I said, how is this for a guy – that presents himself as I'm science guy. I like he plays the same length club,
right?
The ability of swing for precision, precision, and it's obviously worked. He's won a major. I'm not taking any of that away. But this is a major that's at the same course every year. You've played it, I think, 6 or 7 times now. How do you not have every angle on this course lined up? And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm wrong. He does. He does have it lined up. He just fails to execute every time. So it makes me, I'm proud of golf and I'm proud of Augusta for doing it, because I'm like, huh, this course is so challenging. And Nick said it, Nick Faldo said it when he said, I'm sorry, Sir Nick Faldo. He said it earlier when they asked him about, he'd missed a shot and he was like, yeah, you can be aggressive on certain lines and aggressive on certain holes. He said, but this course is about distance control. Distance control. He does cool, hit it a mile. If you can stop it, on that
dime of a green.
Exactly, on that dime. If you can't, you're going to pay. Which, shout out to Augusta. I know before in the Masters preview, I talked about how I like the Opens better because they change courses. And that's still probably true. But Glenn, brother-in-law Glenn put me on. He said, you know, there is something to be said for basically having the first major of the year be at the same spot where you know all the holes, you know the shots, you know what they have to do. And I kind of agreed. I was like, you know what? Of the four majors, if one of them is at the same spot every year, I agree. I think I'm with that.
Yeah. No,
it's like Daytona, you know, they go to Daytona every year, you know.
Yeah. So, and so for Bryson, like, you got to do better. You got to have better showings than these, bro. You know, all these angles. Like,
you know, another thing, don't forget, was it 2 years ago where Bryson said, you know, Augusta, now that he's doing all his long ball, like, Augusta's basically like
68
for him, yeah. And not a 72. It's like,
apparently not.
Here we go. Right. Like, apparently it's not a 68. Because if so, let's just.
Because he shot 76, 67, 75, 75.
He shot 76?
The first day he showed it.
Yep.
It's great. Right. So instead of it being 4 over, it's more like 6 over. If it's a par 68, you put that in your scorecard. And then he during the practice round, I'm downstairs in the family room watching, you know, live from the Masters or whatever and doing some work. My wife comes down and watch it. And Bryson's doing an interview and he says something about his science, like scientific tools to measure. He's like, yeah, because I can't really bring this and they'll have the artist book or any of the tools that I do to measure stuff. And I just shake my head and suck my teeth a little bit. She's like, isn't that the guy you guys always make fun of? I'm like, yeah. She's like, why do you guys make fun of him? He seems perfectly normal to me. I didn't even respond. I was like, you know, I'm not this Bryson's normal stuff. Like, no, you're a nice woman. I get it. You're nice. You're the one in high school who's not going to pick on the kid that everyone else. You know what I mean? I get it. That's one of the reasons I love you, but no. Stop it with the Bryson. Why do we make fun of him? Not feeding into it.
he brings it on himself, man. He brings it on himself. Sorry. Having said all that, man, shout out to Hideki Matsuyama for winning, man. You know, now, you know, I know he's listening. I know he's going to tune into the pod. He wants to check out what we got to say.
I'm trying to figure out why he won't wear his golf DMV hat.
Me too. For real, though.
There was another funny thing, too, with sponsors. We're still about wearing the stuff. Man, another one of these, you know, golf social media influencer people or whatever, some lady had taken a picture, a screenshot of Patrick Reed and said, don't these sponsorships on his hat and shirt look totally made up? And they were the weirdest. I didn't even think of it. You look at it, it's the weirdest name of companies. I'm like, you know what? These are made-up spots. I'm sure that they're real companies, but it's like, of course, Patrick Reed has to dig to the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, yeah.
Any sponsorships. And these companies, like, oh, you look at these names, it's just the weirdest thing. Like, you know what? Yeah, this is definitely made-up sponsorships. You don't have any sponsors, bro.
Jim Jam Industries.
basically, it was like, It was like Zintentional or something like that. And then another one was like Ryback. And so it's like, what in the world is this?
Like, what are you doing? Yeah. But I think it'd be cool to get on to like get on tour and then just be seen. This is why I don't belong on tour. Just get on there, especially as a black person. Get on there, just do some havoc. Just have like Pornhub be a sponsor. Just put them
right. Right on the show. Exactly.
So, dare somebody to ask me about it. Don't even say right.
that. Yeah. Right. They're legitimate business. Hey.
They make a lot of money.
They make a lot of money every year. They
especially in the pandemic.
I mean, there are stories even pre-pandemic of people getting fired because on their work computers, they're sitting there right. and that's been the most streamed. You
know. Exactly. Yeah, come on, y'all. Yeah. What are you be doing?
Yeah, so, I want to ask you guys, like, how much is Japan going to turn up when Hideki gets home? Like,
he's only
the second major winner, and his name already escapes me, but I remember the 2009 championship where he won, because I think that was the one that Dustin messed up, Wesley Stritch, that the other gentleman won, whose name I will get. But Japan's going to turn up when he gets back, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I hope so. I hope so.
But yeah, because they kept playing.
Don't forget that tour, the Japan tour with the player, you know, who like basically just stuck his middle finger up at someone who made noise, and it was about to ban him for 2 years. Hideki may not want to turn up too much because
he won't get in trouble.
You don't want to get kicked out the country for a couple of years because you
partied.
Y-E-Yang. Yeah. Okay.
When he won, then the commentators, because there's, you know, smart wise guys, like Y-E-Yes or something like that, when he won at that final play. Yeah. Like, oh, that's so lame.
It's almost bad as Willie Zeman.
Hey, do you know why Matthew Wolf got disqualified?
No, what happened?
I don't know either.
Apparently, he signed for a score lower than what he got because of something like on the eighth hole or something like that. And I don't know whether he did it on purpose or whether he.
Oh man.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, and then wasn't it Xander Schauffele or somebody? Abraham Anser, who was deducted 2 strokes because
right the sand. I looked at that one, and
he definitely moved the sand. I mean, but I don't think he was intentionally trying to
exactly. I mean, I think some of these rulings and even the cameras. Why is the camera that tight on his on his sand wedge?
Trying
you know
to
what
catch
I mean
him.
To even to see him. That. You know, I understand golf is a game of integrity and yada, 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 but come on, man. This is some BS for that stuff right there.
I mean, to have that camera that tight, you're trying to figure out something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's, you don't have to do that. Yeah. It's the whole, hey, why are you talking to this person on your phone? Why are you looking in my phone?
Right.
Yeah, it's like, so why, exactly. why patch that down to sand? Well, why is the camera on me while I'm in the sand trap?
Right. What do you say? Yeah, my name ain't Patrick Reed.
I need to watch Pat.
Yeah. So apparently it came on the 17th hole. They basically just said he three-putted for, you know, he got on in regulation, three-putted for a bogey. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say what he signed for, but it's lower than that, which just means that Matthew Wolf, you're welcome in our group anytime, because there's going to be it's a tap in this 3 foot. I'm just going to pick it up. I'm just going to.
So the one I did write down one note, and this was from it had to be the second day. So Berger, I forget his first. What's Berger's
Daniel.
First name?
Daniel.
Okay, yeah. So he didn't make the cut either, but he was on the 18th hole, and he had to make birdie to make the cut. And his second shot went into the bunker. And you could just see the life like drain from his face after he put that in the bunker. Cause that was basically, that was his, you know, this point, you know, he'd be lucky to make par at this point. And he needed to make that birdie to make the cut. And you could just, you know, and I thought about the stress of that, you know, to stand over those shots. And everybody in golf.
Mm-hmm.
When you know you have to do, you have to execute this shot for whatever it is, and that adrenaline and the stress and all that stuff going on, and your hands are probably sweaty and shaky, yet you got to hit that ball. I feel bad. I really felt bad for him because I could see the pain in his face, and even the day when Xander put it in the water, I'm like, dude, come on, man. I really felt bad for him because you could see it in his. It almost like he just wanted to just cry. He just wanted to cry.
Yeah. I will verbally react and yell and stuff sometimes in golf on those ones. It's those are the realest moments in watching a golf tournament. Uh-huh. These are the ones that you connect with personally. Where when it happens, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Siwoo, even when Siwoo missed that short putt and it went, instead of like my reaction was like, oh, he's gonna kill someone. Like, and I was right, he killed his putter.
Yeah.
When Xander, like, and because Xander got so hot, I was like, I'd driven back from, I told these guys I went to a doctor's appointment, whatever, to get a vaccination, or whatever. And then when I was on the way back, I saw it was only a 2-stroke difference.
Uh-huh.
I was like, and it was like, yeah, he had like a run of what, 5-6 birdies,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah. And then the first hole I see when I come back, and maybe it was my fault, is
put him in the water.
He puts it in the water and it makes a, I think, a triple.
Yeah,
he ended up making a triple. Yeah,
yeah, sure,
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
golf,
so,
man.
Yeah.
Golf. I mean, even I can't remember which golfer it was. Somebody tried to chip it on the green and it just fell short and rolled right back down.
I saw that too. That was on day two, I think. Yeah.
It's just, you just watch this stuff and you're like, yep, I know what that's
carnage.
All about.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah. So I put in the group chat, it's like watching a car accident in slow motion. Like when he made one of those, because he made a double on the front that was bad too, where you just see him struggling and fighting. And you know what? I can see why. If I was, we came down hard on Bryson with the camera thing. If it was me, I would definitely be immature, but like in the bunker, and they got like the camera far away from me. Get
that thing out of my face. I'm like, golf here.
Are you? Yeah, man.
So in our betting, we didn't come close to nobody.
No, it was a bloodbath because all these jerks didn't make the cut.
Right.
Yeah, took L's all over the place. Cam Smith stroked in and approach. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's what I'm finding out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking. Yeah, I mean, Westwood, he couldn't do nothing. And it was weird. So
Westwood didn't have. Is that his fiance?
His fiance, right? He
why is she not on the bag?
Well, because it was the Masters. He decided that he would give his son the opportunity to come to the match. And see, that totally blew my. That's why I was rooting for him because he had a chick on the bag.
Because he had her on.
Yeah, come on, man. Y'all been doing this up. Y'all been having a good time. Now you just blew up the chemistry. Yeah,
she's probably sitting at home like, look at this fool.
Right, see? If I was there.
Like, there's no way in the world I would have him hit an 8-iron into this group. Like, what in the world is going on?
He might be more relaxed. He might have been more relaxed.
Yeah. And poor Rory. I don't know what's going on with him, man.
Yeah.
Because I hit a couple shanks just like Rory yesterday.
Yeah, he had a tough time. Obviously, DJ.
Just Patrick Cantlay, plus 8. He didn't make it.
JT couldn't really get it together. Siwoo got upset and he couldn't,
Christ almighty. So we got one win out of all that money that was spent.
Uh-huh.
A single win. Top 10, Cameron Smith. That's it.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah. Cam Smith had a top 10 finish. L's on all the rest of this. Cam Smith top 5, because I had him winning.
Right.
Cam Smith top 5, obviously out. Dustin Johnson, of course, he went out. He doesn't care. Yeah. He doesn't even care about my money.
No.
Max Homa, two. Yeah. Again, those were long shots. I take those. And then what was this other one? Futures, Cam Smith. That was another Cam Smith.
We had JT in there. I had JT winning.
Not all these L's. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Cam Smith, for giving me some money back. I will use it irresponsibly on the next tournament. But I think if we were to conclude, it would just say, great, probably more interesting first two opening rounds, I think, before the cut line. Third day, we didn't see the third day, and then the fourth day seemed to be like a foreground conclusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, brought to you in part by Cache Spine Sports. Go to GolfDMV for more information on that. Also, would love to hear your course reviews. You can email us, just go to golfdmv.com, hit contact us, and while you're at the website, buy some merch, folks. All right, we'll be back next week with more GolfDMV.